Hello and welcome to Tantramar Report on CHMA 106.9 FM. We're broadcasting from the heart of the Maritimes, Sackville, New Brunswick, the traditional lands of the Mi'kmaq people, unceded in the Treaties of Peace and Friendship, first signed with settlers in 1725. I'm Erica Butler. It's Tuesday, July 13th. Coming up on today's show, Sackville Town Council met last night and we catch some highlights. Dates have now been set for a preliminary hearing into the murder of Jamie Leard. Memram Cook Tantramar MLA Megan Mitten has had her baby. Vaccination clinics abound in the Sackville area over the coming days. And coming up later, we chat with Cynthia Spurls and Ron Kelly Spurls of Live Bait Theatre, who are launching the Live Bait New Works Festival on Wednesday. But first, the COVID case update. For one straight week now, there have been no new cases of COVID-19 reported in New Brunswick. There are now just 5 active cases in the province, with 3 of those in Zone 1. No cases are under investigation. Nova Scotia reported 1 new case on Sunday and now has 37 active cases of COVID-19. The Cumberland Health Network remains COVID-free, with no new cases reported there in over a month. There are plenty of upcoming opportunities to get first and second doses of a COVID-19 vaccine in the Sackville area this week. A regular Vitalité clinic, which requires pre-booking either online or over the phone, will take place Wednesday, July 14th at the Tantramar Civic Center. Throughout this week, the province is also hosting another series of mobile walk-in clinics, including one at the Dorchester Veterans Community Hall on Thursday, July 15th between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. That clinic will give doses of Moderna vaccine and so is limited to those 18 and older. And on Saturday, the Corner Drugstore is hosting a walk-in vaccination clinic at their store at 106 Main Street, giving up to 60 doses of Pfizer vaccine. Memram Cook Tantramar MLA Megan Mitten announced the birth of her new baby, Henry, on Facebook this past Friday. Henry was born at the end of June. Mitten says the new family of 4 is settling in at home, and her daughter, Quinn, is especially excited to be a big sister. Mitten has been on maternity leave since about mid-June and has hired 2 extra staffers at her constituency office to help cover the workload while she's away. Henry Potty and Sean Patterson appeared via video conference in Moncton Court yesterday to set a date for a preliminary hearing into charges against them of first-degree murder. The week-long preliminary hearing will take place starting January 17th, and the 2 men will remain in custody until then. Patterson and Potty are charged in the death of Jamie Leard in Upper Cape on May 25th. The town of Sackville has a new deputy mayor. At their meeting last night, Sackville Town Council elected Andrew Black to the position in a 5-3 vote. Councillor Michael Tower was also up for the position. The deputy mayor can chair council or otherwise act as mayor if the elected mayor, currently Sean Michaud, is unable to attend or fulfill duties. Most recently, former Deputy Mayor Ron Aiken served as acting mayor for about 8 months after the elected mayor, John Hyam, resigned. Andrew Black will be deputy mayor for at least a 1-year term, after which council will hold another vote for the position. Last night was the first night since the onset of the pandemic that members of the public were allowed to attend council in person, and local resident Kevin Reed made the best of it. Reed stood up during question period to ask several questions, but his first and main question was regarding RCMP response times. Reed cited the recent suspicious fires in Upper Sackville and complained that RCMP response times were not up to snuff, considering the amount that the town pays for RCMP protection.
So my main question is, if we're paying this kind of money, why everybody in town doesn't feel safe right now? Because of, you know, there's other circumstances going on, maybe 5 or 10 feet outside of our border. But when you have something in the line of arson, attempted murder, whatever they want to do, we can call it whatever's going on, and it takes an hour for RCMP to respond to something like that, when the office is right here, it's in a beautiful $15 million building, and we're not getting any response. That should have been responded to, as same as the fire department.
Outside the meeting, Reed said his concern was not just for response times to recent incidents in Upper Sackville, but also for more run-of-the-mill incidents in town, like motor vehicle accidents. He's concerned that at times there are no Sackville RCMP officers on duty within 15 minutes of town. CAO Jamie Burke said the town would check with Sergeant Paul Gagne of the Sackville Detachment to ask for data on the RCMP's response times.
I'm just assuming here, which we probably shouldn't be doing, but it all depends on the circumstances of the day and where their resources need to be mobilized at any one point in time throughout the cycle of officers in and out. But we can check with Sergeant Gagne and see if there's any details with respect to individual response times within the municipal boundary.
Reed didn't buy the reasoning that response times would be linked to needs in other areas unless under extraordinary circumstances.
Thank you for your answer, but I don't accept that answer only on the premises that we are paying for protection and response time. So I don't want the answer saying it's something is going on. Yes, if we go back to the officers being killed in Moncton and they need to leave town for something as serious as that, I guess that's above and beyond. But 360 days of this year, at least, there should be one person on call. And we should have a response within 15 minutes to anything, because that's what a taxpayer is paying for.
That's Sackville resident Kevin Reed speaking at town council on Monday night. Mayor Sean Michaud had some updates to share on health care in Sackville. An ad hoc committee made up of concerned citizens, including several former mayors, has been working on health care reform for a while now. And in June, the mayor and councillor, Sabine Dietz, were appointed to liaise with the group on behalf of council. The committee is now officially part of the Memramcook-Tantramar Community Task Force, formerly known as the Tantramar COVID-19 Task Force. The task force is co-chaired by former Sackville Mayor Pat Esterbrooks and former councillor and recently retired Open Sky Director Margaret Tuse King. Michaud said that at a meeting on July 6th, the ad hoc health committee agreed to become part of the task force, calling themselves the Rural Health Action Group, and focusing on healthcare worker recruitment and implementing the vision submitted as part of healthcare reform consultations this spring. Michaud also told council he had met with Ambulance New Brunswick.
Regards to Ambulance New Brunswick, I had the opportunity of meeting with the operations manager here on Friday. And he advised that Sackville is designated as a primary post. So what that means is that there's an ambulance available here regularly, and if it has been dispatched or otherwise taken away, that there will be an ambulance available within 20 minutes of the area. And their average response time has been 9 to 11 minutes. Also, once they were informed of the change in hours in regards to the ER, advised by Horizon, what they did was they upstaffed an additional unit for the Sackville region, not specifically Sackville, but for the Sackville region, to cover the ER downtimes. So this was really good information to have, because it provided some. Helped solidify the fact that we do have the appropriate amount of coverage at that time if additional ambulance service is required.
That was Mayor Sean Michaud speaking at Sackville Council on Monday night. This Wednesday, 5 days of theater, presentation, and performance of new works will kick off in Sackville with the Live Bait New Works Festival. To talk about the program and what's on tap, I spoke with Live Bait's Cynthia Spurls and Ron Kelly Spurls. Cynthia Spurls is president of the board and chief volunteer with Live Bait Theater, and Ron Kelly Spurls is artistic director. Welcome, Cynthia and Ron.
Thank you, Erica.
Thank you.
So it's really exciting to see a number of live in-person events in the Live Bait New Works Festival this year, which is starting Wednesday and going through to Sunday. It's almost as if things are getting back to normal, it feels like, when you look at the list of what's going on. How does it feel to be able to mount the festival like this after being limited over the past, more than a year by pandemic restrictions? I don't know who wants to tackle that. Cynthia, do you want to start off?
Oh, it's absolutely wonderful. I was so excited when we even
started talking about this, to be able to be around other people and to be able to offer this to people in person. We had done a lot of things, you know, via Zoom, and that was good, but to have people in person was absolutely wonderful.
Yeah. It's definitely exciting, but it's interesting because, you know, last year everything was online, which has a certain number of challenges, and now most things, almost everything is live, and which is fantastic. But then there's all these, we're almost at the end of COVID, but we're not quite there. So there's a lot of, you know, sort of challenges to that too, just making sure that all the restrictions and the safety measures that are still on are being met. But yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah, you're still going to have, I guess, reduced capacity and different things like that to deal with, I suppose.
Yeah, it's and it's very important that, you know, people will be still wearing masks and all those sorts of things, and we'll be taking people's registration information. So we want to make sure everybody feels safe and is safe. But it's a fair amount of work and organization, but it's fine. We're happy to be able to do it.
Well, we have to ease people back into normal life anyway. We can't rush them into no masks and no contact info quite so soon, I guess. This is the fourth annual New Works Festival. So people are going to be seeing some new completed works, but also some things that are in progress. I'm curious, you know, how important is it for artists to have opportunities to be able to showcase works in progress? You know, I'm thinking just in terms of the thinking behind that as part of the festival.
Well, I think it's, you know, I think it's a not an original idea, but I'm not sure if anybody else around here is doing it in any case. But I think it's really valuable because, you know, it's all, I think, in a low pressure sort of situation where people can see things in front of an audience, or they can, you know, we even have one event where someone has a book idea and they want to talk to people about it. So people can join in and, you know, give them feedback on the world of the book that they've created. So, but also just seeing things, like having done a lot of theater in the past, I know you get a really different experience from seeing it with an audience, or even just seeing it read out loud or produced, which, you know, in the process of creating something is, I think, a really important part for a lot of artists. So I think this is a really good opportunity, and the feedback we've had from people who have been involved in it has been that, you know, it allows them to see their work from a different perspective, to see it. We don't do a lot of development on the work for the festival, but everything is, you know, presented and produced and with a potentially public audience. And so I think people really appreciate that, and it really helps, you know, the kind of grow as artists and then develop their work.
Mm-hmm. It seems like a more of an important thing in especially in theater, where, you know, having that, hearing it out loud and seeing the reaction of an audience is really, I guess, very much part of the development of a work, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're also, the festival or Live Bait is also able to pay people a little bit too, which everybody helps everybody.
Right.
Especially
yeah.
artists.
Yeah.
Not a huge amount of money, but you know, everybody gets an honorarium, and all the people who are acting or presenting or whatever. So I think that makes a big difference. And we're very fortunate, Live Bait is very fortunate to have funding from Canadian Heritage and from the provincial government as well through Megan Mitten's office. So.
Now, there's a lot of events to choose from, and we'll link to the full program on our website, and people can, of course, go to the Live Bait website. What's the address for Live Bait?
It's just livebaittheater.com.
Livebaittheater.com. All right. And so, you know, and the full program is there. But I, you know, want to talk a bit about a few of them. On Wednesday, things kick off with Paul Brisk Jr., talking about a work in progress, Becoming My Own Native. We're hopefully going to be hearing from Paul Brisk Jr. On Tantrum Art Report as well this week. And M. Dallas Edwards has a stage reading of a new play on Wednesday. On Thursday afternoon, you're presenting something called We Are Luminous. Can you tell us a bit about that production?
So it's a group from Fredericton. They have a fun name called Solo Chicken Productions, but they do all kinds of things. They do professional, fully professional shows. It's kind of movement-based theater, but they do a lot of community work as well, community-connected work. And this particular group, they meet regularly with a number of individuals who are connected, I believe it's to the L'Arche Society in Fredericton, and they're people with intellectual disabilities and people without, and they work together, and they kind of just, they started out just doing kind of workshops, theater-related workshops, and after a while, they decided they wanted to perform, so they've done some performances in Fredericton, and now this, I think, is their first kind of tour, so they'll be bringing the show down to up here to the New Works Festival and performing at the Music Barn. So it's going to be a pretty special kind of show. They, there's a little bit of distanced audience interaction possible as well. So, and I think it'll be really, you know, kind of uplifting. And it's a really fantastic idea, I think, to offer this opportunity for people of all different types to kind of get involved in theater and to have a experiential experience like this.
Thursday night, Pat LaPoite event, you're going to have live in concert music, which is something it feels like it's been a long time since I've seen. So that's exciting. On Friday night, you do have a show that's going to be virtually presented. It seems like sort of made for digital format theater might be a thing that sticks around for a bit because it does sort of present its own little opportunities there. But can you tell us a bit about if they come for Robbie Burns?
Sure. I don't want to give away too much of the plot because it's something you need to listen to, I think, to get the whole story. But it's basically based around the idea of a family call like every week during COVID. They've been calling and doing a kind of a family Zoom meeting. So basically the audience will be kind of sitting in on the family Zoom meeting and seeing as the different sorts of dynamics of their children who are, it's about a family, the children are away and the parents are still in the Maritimes and the kind of dynamic that happens between them and a little bit of a surprise that happens kind of through this call. This is not they have calls every week, but this is kind of an unusual call where something exciting happens. So I think it's really cool that this is the playwright Natalie Meiser. She's written a number of plays that have been produced nationally. But she's premiering this with us, and this is the first time that she's written a play that is specifically designed to be on Zoom. It's not just a play that's being presented on Zoom, it's a play that's on Zoom.
Right. Yeah. And so, yes, and people will be able to tune in basically on the Live Bait Theater Facebook page to that. Can sit in the comfort of your own home.
Exactly.
Kick up your heels on Friday night. On Saturday, you've got writing workshop for young people in the morning. You've got a stage reading of a new play is it Iris Ryan?
Yes.
And at 7 p.m., I guess Charlie Rindress will be sharing some materials and presentation about a new book that he has coming out. And then at 8 p.m., you're one of the writers involved in this production at 8 p.m., The Good, the Bard, and the Ugly. Tell us a bit about that, Ron.
Sure. Well, this play, it goes back probably 30 years. I was involved with a small theater group in Fredericton, and this was part of a bigger play that had several sections in it. And it was based originally just on the story of Romeo and Juliet. So it's a spoof. It's a comedy. I think it's quite funny. But now it's not just Romeo and Juliet. It has Hamlet, probably five or six different plays, including the Scottish play. And they're all kind of mixed matched together. The premise is that William Shakespeare has to get a play ready for the Queen in a very short period of time. And so he takes a bunch of bits of plays that he started to write on or he hasn't produced yet, and he kind of puts them all together into one play with a whole bunch of famous characters and famous lines, but not necessarily spoken in the right order or to each other. I think it's quite funny. It's about an hour long, and we're looking forward to presenting it.
Well, that's great. And that's going to be at the United Church on Saturday
night? That is as well. Yeah.
Now, Sunday afternoon, there's an interesting event described as an improvised exploratory communal music and fiber art workshop project by Aaron mm-hmm. Bardua. There's a lot of descriptors in that already, but I mean, what can people expect? It's called String Song at 2 p.m. Yeah. What is that about?
Well, Aaron was talking to me about it, and it's a really interesting project that basically people are going to do a combination of knitting. So Aaron, you don't have to have any experience knitting. Aaron is going to bring in knitting that has already started and going to kind of give a little bit of a demonstration and talk about how to knit. The people are going to knit whatever they feel inspired to knit. And then at some point in the workshop, as I understand, people are going to be asked to kind of use that knitting to inspire them to do some singing, which will, I guess, could possibly be things that, you know, songs that are already written or songs that people know, or it might just be songs that people feel inspired to kind of make up from the knitting. So, yeah, it's a really cool idea. I mean, it's I don't know if you've ever, or people, you know, look at something and sort of feel like there's something musical about it. Well, this was Erin's experience. She's an opera singer, but this was her experience, I guess, with knitting, that she kind of suddenly felt like that the knitting was almost like notes that she would be able to sing. And so she's kind of bringing this into a workshop format.
Wow, sounds pretty neat. And Sunday's a really packed day at 4. Jared Monk is presenting ideas around a new book that they're working on. You have Gerda's Magical Journey at 6:30, and then the festival closes with not a new work necessarily, but the 30th anniversary of the world premiere of Charlie Rindress's first play. And that's also going to be something that's streaming on the Live Bait Theater Facebook page.
Yeah, that's right. Charlie will be broadcasting it. Yeah.
All right. All right. So, I mean, this is all very exciting. Cynthia, what do people need to know in order to get tickets? I mean, these are all, people should be not just showing up and they should be registering in advance. Is that right?
People can register in advance. And Ron, can people show up?
Well, I think they could, but they'd be, you know, they'd be really risking not getting in. Just because the seating is so limited, I would highly recommend that people reserve in advance if they can. They can show up and then we could take their information at that point. And, you know, if there are seats available, be able to put them in. But, you know, because everybody is bubbled, it's a little bit complicated. So I would definitely advise that people reserve in advance.
All right. And so, you'll be seating people in their household bubbles sort of thing?
Yes, we'll be. The reservations, you can do them online. There's after each event, there's a spot to click. And we'll be taking the people's information. And we will actually be assigning seats to bubble and have a seating plan. And if they have questions, they can call the Live Bait phone number, and there's an email that they could, if they have any questions.
Okay, that's great. Well, I mean, congratulations on putting this together. You've got a lot on the program for Sackvillians to check out in the next, 5 days or from Wednesday to Sunday.
Yeah, it's really exciting. I hope a lot of people come out. I think they really enjoy it.
Erica, I wanted to mention too, it's all by donation, and donations can be made online. There's a link and it tells you how to make the donation through the Live Bait website. Or if people wanted to donate cash at the door, they can. We'll have something for them to put the cash in.
Okay, so that's great. That's barrier free then. So sort of pay what you can and donate what you can.
Yes,
that's great.
Yes, if you can, and you know, if you're not able or don't wish to, then that's fine as well. As long as you come, we want people to come. That's the main thing, you know.
Absolutely. All right. Well, break a leg, I guess.
All right. Thanks a lot, Erica.
All right. Take care. Okay. Thank you for joining us.
The Live Bait New Works Festival kicks off tomorrow night, and schedule information and ticket reservations are available at livebaittheater.com. That's it for CHMA's Tantrum Hour Report for this Tuesday, July 13th. As always, for story ideas, tips, or feedback, contact us at news@chmafm.com. I'm Erica Butler. Thanks for listening.